Welcome to episode 33 of Lost in Translation with Bobby Martin. Once again, we're on the road, not coming to you from the WCTV studios in Wilmington. We're coming to you from the campuses of Bentley University. We're joined by fifth-year senior star guard Ella Thompson, whose Bentley team has punched their third straight ticket to the Division II NCAA tournament. Ella, thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Ella, from Indiana. Mm-hmm. All right, now what part of Indiana are you from?
So I'm from Greenwood, Indiana. It's like 15 minutes south of Indy.
What made you come to Boston and find, mm-hmm. how did you find Bentley University?
Yeah, so CY actually saw me playing in a tournament out in Atlantic City my last year of AAU. I didn't know anything about Bentley, being from Indiana, but they flew me out here for an official visit, and I think I fell in love immediately. I had a lot of other offers from like some other small like mid-major schools closer to home in the Midwest. But something about Bentley that just stuck out to me was just the culture, the team here. At the time, Coach Stevens was the head coach, so being able to play for Hall of Fame head coach my freshman year and just play for a winning culture. Just the camaraderie, the teammates here. Bentley won, and just a great school academically. Having a chance to come in and kind of make an impact and just have the opportunity to win championships, I think, was the biggest thing for me, and learn from just some great coaches. I play with some great teammates too, so.
So, unless you're from New York City,
yeah.
All right, Midwest basketball is considered the best basketball in the country. Talk to me about that. What were the differences you saw between Midwest basketball and now technically East Coast basketball?
Well, I think being from Indiana, it's just a big basketball state. So growing up in high school, once the state tourney started, gyms were just sold out. So I think just like the environment, just everyone played basketball. Like I said, everyone had a hoop in their driveway. Everyone's playing on the weekends. So I think that just kind of helped shape like one, my mentality, my style of play. For sure. So yeah, just Indiana just being a big, huge basketball state.
Did you know what you were getting in for? Was there a wake up call? Because look, I love basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm from here. Bobby's a transplant. He's from here. You've got pockets where basketball is huge, but it's not the same. You know, Indiana, you go to not even the biggest division school.
Yeah.
Not even the best school. They're playing, might not even be their top rival. And it is like a madhouse when you've been in some of those gyms. The fans, they're out on the court, the pass capacity, the fire marshal's just like looking the other way, like, God, I hope something doesn't happen in here. Or he's just in the crowd cheering too. But like, you come to Mass, even at the college level, like you go to some, I won't name any names, somewhere where I'm an alum from, that's a Division I, our rival, other in-state. I'll throw Boston College under the bus because they can take it even as a, you know, technically a Power 5 school. It never sells out. It's never a sellout, other than if Duke comes to town.
Right.
The atmosphere in the crowd is definitely very different, I think would be safe to say. When did you learn that, and was that at all a turnoff? Were you ever like, maybe I want to start looking back Midwest? Maybe I made the wrong choice because it's not the same atmosphere.
Well, personally for me, there's never been a point in my career where I thought that I made the wrong decision. I think there's times where it's like maybe you don't have like the same like crowd or like atmosphere like certain games that you do in Indiana, but I think here at Bentley, I think our fans are great. I think the winning culture that Coach Stevens has built the past X amount of years that she's been here, we get great buy-in from the community, the kids, the student athletes here, our athletic department. So I think from that standpoint, the support here at Bentley is great. And I think it's been that way the past, four or five years that I've been here. Maybe not as much so at other schools, but here at Bentley it is. And I think that's one of the reasons that has kept me here as well.
How difficult was it for you during the COVID years? Because right now this is your fifth year, right?
Yeah, fifth
Correct?
Year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is your fifth season. You've been to how many NCAAs now?
I've been to three.
You've been to three, yep. So this will be your fourth NCAA?
No, this will be my third, I'm sorry.
Okay,
yeah.
This will be your third. Mm-hmm. So during the COVID year, talk to me about the pain you guys were going through of not being able to play. I mean, did you practice? Well, I'm not going to ask the question. Well, I guess I will. Did you practice in masks?
We did, actually, okay. Yeah, so... I mean, I think that was definitely one of the most I kind of caught the tail or the beginning of it, the tail end of my freshman year. So that's the year we actually didn't make the NCAA tournament. But the teams that did, they weren't able to finish out their year. They weren't able to compete in the NCAA tournament. And then it was like around spring break time, we got sent home. So then we came back in the fall. We're like, all right, we thought it was over. We're like, all right, we might have to test. We might have to wear masks, but we're going to have a season. So we're starting preseason like normal. And then I think around, I don't know, October-ish, we were told that the Northeast 10 was going to cancel the season. So I think it was definitely very, very heartbreaking, but we knew that there was like more work to be done. And even though it was hard to see kind of like the light at the end of the tunnel, we still had to come in and practice every single day and try to get, that was kind of our mindset. We were like, we're just going to try and get 1% better, enjoy the time that we have with our teammates, with our coaches. Because I think as we learned like throughout the pandemic, you know, can't take anything for granted. So we just try to come in with that mentality and get better every single day. Just have fun. Just enjoy the time that we had with each other. So.
What were, if you think back on your career, everyone has times, whether it's college, whether it's before college, that really try, I think, well, I shouldn't say everyone, but I think a lot of people that try them, that make them go,
yeah.
Is this really what I want to do? Is this really what I'm want to spend? Is it really worth it going on? Are there moments for you that were kind of that crossroads of, does basketball become more of a hobby, less of a passion? Do I continue down this road of playing? I don't know if it's injuries. I don't know if it's self, like whatever. Have you had moments in your career that have made you stop and question, do I want to see it through to the next step, whatever that next? And now you're at the point where you're like, you want to coach. So clearly you want to see it through.
Yeah.
But before you got to this point, were there any moments for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you've been playing, I think any sport for X amount of years, I guess in my case, up 20 years now, I mean, there's definitely going to be trials that anyone goes through, whether that be injury, whether that be you don't see your role being what you thought it would be. But I think for me, whenever I came to any of those crossroads or like you didn't achieve something that you felt like you should have given X amount of work that you put in. Whenever I've come to that crossroad, I think I always go back to why did I start playing the game in the first place? And I think being here at Bentley, I'm like, I can see that the impact that I've had like on younger generations, my teammates, the impact that my coaches and my teammates have had on me. So I think personally for me, I realize that when I come, kind of like go through those trials, I'm like, it's honestly bigger than basketball. And like you said, for me, that's one of the reasons why I want to get into coaching. I want to be able to share my knowledge with the next generation of basketball players and hopefully have just a small impact kind of on their lives as my coaches and teammates have had on mine. So,
you know, I want to continue with that thought for a second. You mentioned that, you know, things didn't turn out the way that you thought that they would. So talk to me about the introspection that's involved in trying to come back with, you know, this is basically, you've got illusions, right, of how things are going to happen. And now all of a sudden you see reality and now it becomes disillusion, right? You're like, oh my goodness, how do you begin again after that?
Yeah, right. So I think one of the examples that comes to mind for me was like, even just last year in the NCAA tournament, when we were playing at Assumption, kind of a heartbreaker of a game that we lost. And we knew that we had the talent to win a regional and to kind of like achieve that goal. And like you said, whether it be an individual goal that you have or a team goal, I think for me, how I think of it as one, it's motivation, and two, I use it and I like go back to the drawing board. And I think your confidence as a player is built from all the work that you put in the gym. So for me, it's like how I go back, like you said, to the drawing board is I put hours and hours in the weight room, in the gym, watching film, building connections with my teammates and my coaches. 'Cause not even from like an individual standpoint, but I think one of the biggest things of a successful team is just the camaraderie and the connection that you have with your teammates. I've been on a lot of teams where you've had the talent to do it, but if the connection and camaraderie isn't there, then you're not going to go as far as you want to go and you're not going to be as successful. So I think those are some of the biggest things that I kind of like reflect on and look back when I'm going through moments like that.
Awesome. What's the farthest you guys have gotten the past 2 years?
Yeah, so we've won 3 Indy 10 championships, and then my junior year, we lost in the round of 64 to Jefferson. Then last year, we lost in the round of 32 to Assumption.
Is this the highest seed you guys have had?
Yes, this is the highest seed we've had. This is the first time in my 5 years that we've hosted the region. So
you're a veteran of the NCAAs at this point. How is your mindset any different? And this is your last year.
Yeah.
You're already talking about, you know, maybe pro ball, so maybe the ball keeps bouncing, but you at least are aware that I'm going to stay connected to basketball, but it may be in a very different way
absolutely.
If you transition into coaching. So this could be the last year of being a competitive basketball player, and it's also your guys' best chance at winning a national title or making a really deep run. How is your mindset and your approach different this year than previous years?
Yeah, so I think that's kind of funny. So I think when you're younger, there's times when like you like lose in the NCAA tournaments, like in your season, you're like, oh, I have another year. Oh, I have another year. I'm only a junior. I have my fifth year. I have my senior year. But I think the reality kind of starts to sit in when you're like, oh, wait, this is actually kind of like my last year. So I think the biggest thing for me is just soaking in every moment with my teammates, soaking in every single practice, every single film session. Just every single game, anything that we get to do together as a team, just kind of soaking that in, because like you said, you never know when your last game will be. So I feel like that's kind of been my biggest mindset shift this year, is just an attitude of like just gratitude, just overall thankfulness for the opportunity that I have here.
You know, I remember during my senior year when we had senior night, I said to myself, I'm not gonna cry.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing it anyway because the time with your teammates, you know, that you spent, the ups and the downs. Talk to me now. How are you feeling?
Yeah. I've been saying this for the past few months here. I think there's just something special, something different about this team that I'm playing on this year. Not that any of the other past teams that I played on at Bentley didn't have that connection or that camaraderie, but I think there's just something special about this Bentley basketball team that has led us to another Indy 10 championship, that has helped us just get the number one overall seed in the region, so that we're able to host the first few rounds of the NCAA tournament. I think it's just a level of sisterhood, connection, trust, buy-in from all 14 players, from the coaching staff. So I think that's just kind of the biggest thing for us.
How would you describe your role in leadership?
Yeah.
Because I think obviously typically teams are carried by their upperclassmen, usually, especially the smaller major or the, you know, Division II, because they're not getting like a one and done player, you know? So it's like their best players are the ones that have put in the work, have grown, gotten stronger, gotten, been there, learned the system. From what I've seen though, like you still need those underclassmen in one way or another, whether it's to be fully bought in practice so they're giving you the best scout, whether it's, you know, giving you some, you know, 5 minutes, 6 minutes here or there when the need a sub and you need there to not be a huge drop off, or sometimes you have underclassmen that they start and that they're good enough to do that. And I felt like they're not going to have the same buy-in and the same sense of urgency that you have as a senior. You just, there's no way you can give them that exact sense of urgency of this is it. But I've found that the seniors that make the most connections and get the closest with the underclassmen get them to buy in the most and get them to feel something that's the closest to that, because it's almost like transference of like, I really care about this person and I know this is it for them and I don't want to no longer be their teammate, so I want to make this last as long as possible. Or I'm so closely connected to them that I'm seeing it and I know it's going to be me next, because so few underclassmen like get it that, hey, I'm a freshman like that, I'm going to be a senior. So I'm just wondering, what's your leadership role and what's your relationship with the underclassmen like?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said earlier, we all just have such a great connection. I think a lot of that started with our trip to Greece this summer. Mm-hmm. So we had two freshmen coming in. You don't really know them. Obviously, you've met them on visits and stuff.
Right.
But I think this the trip to Greece and the time you're able to spend together, because in Division II, you don't have these summer sessions, right? So you're going home for 3 months, not really seeing any of your teammates. You're all doing your work, doing internships, doing X amount of things kind of on your own. So I think having the opportunity to spend time with them and just bond with, my underclass, my freshmen, our sophomores, people who I hadn't played with yet was just a huge advantage that we had that other teams I think hadn't. I think that we just kind of built off that, and it just kind of led into preseason, into our regular season. So. But we do so many things off the court together too. I mean, we're always going to team dinners. We're driving to get ice cream after practice. We're always texting in our group chat. I just think the overall just kind of like team building that we do off the court translates to the relationship, the camaraderie, the team chemistry that we have on the court. Like you said, I feel like that is the biggest thing too.
I love the fact that you said my freshman.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was in college, we had our seniors, we had five freshmen come in.
Yeah.
Well, I was part of the five freshmen, but we had seniors who were all Americans, who were all Olympians, and they just took us in. Mm-hmm. You know, we were their responsibility. And when you say my, to follow on Sam's point, you're talking about leadership, right? Leadership is service. You know, so you're giving yourself to those freshmen mm-hmm. so they can get a chance to know you, because I'm sure, they weren't the most outgoing kids, right? Because they're trying to find their own way,
Absolutely.
And just to hear you say my freshman does my heart really, really good. Because, it's a tough sport. You may have a freshman that come in and wants to take your spot, and they're going to work hard.
Absolutely.
And it's still competition, but at the same time, you understand that there's a greater, cause, for the team. And basketball's in a good place. I appreciate you saying my freshman.
You mentioned going out for ice cream. You mentioned.
Yeah.
Waltham's an interesting city. Bobby used to live here for some time. It was where he made his off-season home.
Where'd you go for ice cream?
Yeah, I'm curious.
So if you haven't been, Scoop and Scootery. I think it's in Austin, so it's a little bit of a drive,
okay.
But usually Scoop and Scootery, and we'll go to Lizzie's.
Okay, all right, Lizzie's, I like it. Yep,
yeah.
Lizzie's, okay,
yeah.
Good.
I feel like those are usually our like top three places to go.
What are the other spots that you've learned over the years in in Waltham that are just like the, are there any spots that maybe like your average student who just comes for 4 years and is a student and never really ventures far off of campus other than Moody Street is like, are there any other spots? It might not be even in Waltham, but just in the area that you're like, you found that are hidden gems.
So I think one of the best sandwich shops people don't talk about is Dominic's. I don't know where it is. It's over there by like that. I think it's like Main Street.
Okay.
By like Chipotle, if you're over there.
Yep.
I think Dom's. I think they have the best chicken parm sandwich I've ever had. So it's like homemade bread, homemade everything.
Okay.
So
right. We'll
big shout out to Dom's. And then obviously Moody Street.
Yeah.
any place on Moody Street. Moody Street is the place to be, so.
Yeah. A question just about someone else that we're going to be talking to, Kylie Ducharme, she comes from a small town, very small town. Her high school is very small, 600 kids right now. Only 1,000 player in school history, boys or girls, comes here, really doesn't play for 2 years. We live in the transfer portal era. Mm-hmm. Someone that had that kind of success in high school early, doesn't really see the court much for 2 years, but sticks it out and is now playing meaningful minutes, starter minutes for you guys starting. So what would you say about her and her kind of growth as a team?
Yeah, well, first I'm gonna start and say Kylie is one of the most unselfish, caring teammates that I've ever played with. So her buy-in from day one has always been there. So for her, she's a high energy player. She brings the energy, the talk, the communication, every single day, no matter if she's having a good day or she's having a bad day. So she's always been that player, even when she wasn't playing. And so for her, just to see how hard that she has worked in the off season, in the years that she wasn't necessarily getting the minutes that she is now, and seeing that hard work pay off, I'm just honestly just like really proud of her. So that's what I'm gonna say about her. She's so unselfish. One of the biggest team players I've ever played with.
you know, you this is the second time I've heard you mention hard work.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in, you know, the work that you do off the court is what's going to pay off later.
Absolutely.
Okay. What would you say to any young players who have the dreams of playing college basketball and going to NCAA tournaments? I'm sure you've seen the change in the culture of basketball. Well, it's where it can sometimes be all about me.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to those kids as they look to be seen by coaches and they go through their AAU programs? And, you know, what advice could you give them on how to handle themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So going to the first thing you said about hard work, I think basketball rewards hard work. The hours that you put in the gym, I think that just builds your confidence in your skill set, in your game. I feel like obviously anyone's gonna play the best when they're free, but that's my biggest thing. I feel like it's just playing free, trusting in the hard work that you've put in, those early mornings, those late nights, with all the shots that you put up. So I think just trusting your game, and then knowing that every single role is important on the team, whether you're playing 40 minutes a game or whether you're not playing at all, every single role is important. And I think just that overall, like, buy-in, commitment, unselfishness, team camaraderie, I feel like that part is the most important things. And coaches notice when you're a good teammate. I think attitude, all that is just so important in building a great and successful team. So I think just trust your work, buy in, and just being an overall just good teammate.
So your head coach was an assistant when you first got here. She's been here a long time. Was a player before that here.
Yeah.
How would you describe her and your connection with her as your coach? And did she change at all when she transitioned from assistant to head coach?
Mm-hmm. So I think C and I have always had a really great, honest and open relationship. So she was the one who saw me play in Atlantic City. So she kind of recruited me. So we've built that relationship since I was in, I think it was like my junior year of high school. So I've really known C for about 6 years now. So I think her and I have always had just kind of that open and honest communication. She's always someone you could go to if you're having a bad day, especially when you're an assistant coach. I think that's more so not necessarily your role, but you're kind of that person. But I think so when it transitioned, maybe she wasn't as much so like the person you're going to go to and cry to if you're having a bad day or if you got something going on. But I think that just that open, honest, direct kind of communication has always been there from her. Just that, I think trust is the biggest thing as a leadership. So you get your players to trust you, to buy in. You have open and honest, direct communication. Just the way she leads by example. I mean, I can't give CY just enough praise, just for how great of a person she is. Just always leading by example, always leading her life on and off the court with just such humility. So I just have the all utmost respect for her as a leader in it. And
that
as a
is
coach.
Awesome. I hear you talking about leadership, okay, and lead by example.
Yeah,
these are wonderful statements that you're making, and I think any athlete that's watching this podcast should listen very intently because you're giving them jewels.
Well, any final thoughts before tip off on Friday?
I'm just excited for this last ride with my teammates. So we put in so much work over the past year since we lost last year in the NCAA tournament. So I'm just really really proud of everyone, and I'm just excited for this ride. Just trying to soak in every last moment that I can, and hopefully get a good crowd Friday, make the people of Waltham proud. So we're ready to get it going.
Awesome. Thank you so much
for joining
us. Absolutely.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I appreciate you for coming in.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.